You have your Bibles this morning, find if you would, Matthew chapter number 20. Matthew chapter number 20 will be our text. Appreciate the way the Lord has organized our service today. I appreciate the way that He's developing in us a love and a gratitude for the men and women who serve our country, a love and a gratitude for the men and women who've paid the ultimate price. But I appreciate the way that He's developing in these moments a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to ask you a question. If you believe and you see the Lord Jesus as being beautiful to you, would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm preaching today a message that once again surprises me in a blessed way of how God has organized our way through the book of Matthew, meeting our need every single Sunday. You would think being Memorial Day that I would have to go to another passage of Scripture and develop some kind of Memorial Day message. But I did not have to do that today. It was the next message up. How fitting is our text today, because I'm preaching to you a message that involves service. Service. It involves our service to the Lord. And on a day that we are remembering service paid to our nation, truth be told, service paid to our own lives, I think it will bless us to be reminded about our responsibility of our service to the Lord Jesus. I'm preaching to Christian people today. If you're in this room and you're not a Christian, there's part of this message is for you, and I want you to listen to it. But I want for God's people to leave here today on the same plane as we all will leave as Americans. When you leave today, I wanted you to be proud to be an American. And when you leave today, I want you to be proud of the Lord Jesus Christ. Find, if you would, verse number 1 of chapter number 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like, it's a familiar phrase throughout the book of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, how would you like to make a penny a day? He sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, that would be 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth, that would be 12 o'clock, and the ninth, that would be 3 o'clock hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, that would be 5 p.m., the day would end at 6 p.m., he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call. You ought to circle or highlight that word. We're going to come back to it in a moment. Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning, now notice, from the last unto the first. Start with that 11th hour gang and work your way down to the dawn gang. Verse number 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, We've borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am, say that word class, good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. If you have a red letter edition Bible, you will notice that every word that I read to you from verse number 1 to verse number 16 is written in red. You will understand at that point that these are words that came directly out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was walking upon the earth. I need you to understand that even though this is a parable that was given to Peter to answer a very poignant question, that this parable was also given to be very practical for our lives. As a pastor, I have seen lives and generations destroyed because people did not understand the truth of this parable. I beg you to listen with your whole heart. The parable is given in response to Peter's question in chapter number 19, verse number 27. Would you look at it, please? In chapter 19, verse number 27, after the rich man had walked away, not being willing to follow the Lord Jesus, Jesus exposing his heart of covetousness, and Peter seeing that and hearing the Lord say that those that trusted in riches could hardly be saved. With men it would be impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter asked a question in verse number 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we, say that word please, have? What shall we have therefore? Jesus gives an immediate answer in verses 28 and 29 to Peter's question. The immediate answer is, I will take care of you, Peter. No one will go without that has sacrificed for me. Peter, you can trust me. Trusting me, you will not lose. I will be no man's debtor. But he goes on in verse number 30 to do something that needed to be done to Peter. He warns him in verse number 30 against dishonesty. And he says in verse number 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If you notice in verse number 16 of chapter 20, the same words are used. The last will be first, and the first will be last. They fit like a parenthetical statement. And so the Lord Jesus has been asked by Peter, hey, we have left everything to serve you. What do we get? And Jesus reminds him that he will be taken care of, but he also reminds him to be careful about pride. Be careful about your motive. Be careful about your understanding, Peter, because the first are going to be last in the kingdom and the last will be first. And you better understand that that principle is a reality. One of the reasons that people get so messed up with this unique passage of Scripture is because they don't understand what it's talking about. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 20, the parable of the vineyard is not a parable about salvation. The Lord Jesus is not teaching Peter how to be saved here. Understand this. Salvation is a free gift of God. It cannot be earned. So nobody goes into a vineyard and works in a vineyard and somehow earns eternal life. Nothing in the parable deals with salvation. It does deal with service. Matter of fact, as you remember these kingdom parables that were given during the time that the kingdom was in mystery form, there were some of the topics that were used in the parable that always represented certain things, i.e. leaven always represented evil, i.e. the field always represented the what class? The world. So in our parable, we have a good man, a householder, who owns a vineyard, and he's calling servants into the vineyard. He's not calling them into the field, which is defined by the world, where Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes unto the fields, for they're white unto harvest." This is a unique teaching that Jesus is doing to answer a selfish, arrogant, dangerous question in the heart and mind of Peter. Peter wants to know, what am I going to get for serving you? And so Jesus teaches him a truth here. It's a truth that you need to understand. The householder represents the Lord. The vineyard represents service. Five times during the day, at dawn, at 9, at noon, at 3, and at 5, the householder is looking for servants to go and to serve in the vineyard. The first ones that he comes to at dawn are chosen men. These are ones that were uniquely chosen. You will find that the text says that the other ones were there, but nobody hired them at that moment. And these folks negotiated a deal with the householder. And they said that they would go in and that they wanted one penny for the whole day. A penny. We will work from dawn till 6, and we will work for a penny. The householder agreed to the deal. They went in and they began to work in the vineyard. They went into the vineyard happy. They went into the vineyard feeling like they had negotiated something. But in the vineyard was a lot of work, and many servants were needed in the vineyard. So as the householder is making his way throughout the marketplace, he sees other capable, qualified people standing there. The text says that they're idle. Doesn't mean they're lazy or that they were selfish or somewhat negative. It just means that they had not been hired. And so the householder presents for them an opportunity to go to work. Some of them got to sleep in. Don't you like jobs that you go in late to? Some of them got to stay home and eat lunch, and then they went to work. Some of them only had to go and work 1 hour, but they were sent into the vineyard. In the Bible days, you were paid your wage at the end of every day. Wouldn't you like to get paid every day? I hate getting paid every 2 weeks. I had that job one time. When I came to Plantation Baptist Church, I said, we'll do anything, but we're going to pay every week. We're not going to pay every 2 weeks. Some of you get paid once a month, every 15. Some of you don't ever get paid. I understand. But at the end of every day. So the day comes, the householder says to his servant, call the laborers. Let's ante up. I want you to do something very specific. I want you to start with the 5 o'clock gang, and I want you to work your way down. So here comes the 5 o'clock gang. They come in and they get paid and they put out their hand and the steward puts a penny in their hand. 1 hour, one penny. If you're a part of the dawn gang, are you happy right now? No. So the dawn gang sees, did you see that? He gave them a penny. They worked 1 hour. Here comes the 3 o'clock gang. They got a penny. They worked 3 hours. So on, all the way down. When the dawn gang finally gets their opportunity to voice their opinion, the Bible says that they had come with supposition in their mind. And here was their thought process. Their thought process was, we worked all day. We bore the heat of the day. Therefore, we should be paid more, or they should not get what we get. Matter of fact, they had so allowed that reasoning and supposition to develop within their mind that now they're in a position where they're murmuring against the good man of the house. And by the way, the whole parable is about our God is good. So they're pretty aggressive now. So the householder comes and he begins to put the penny in their hand. They express their displeasure. They're irate. And I love what the householder, who is the Lord, says to them. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. But he answered one of them and said, say that word, class. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I want to with my own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So when they present their disagreement and their displeasure, the householder says, wait one second. We had a deal. I met you. You said that you would go work in the vineyard for a penny a day. Did I break the deal? No, you didn't break the deal. Did I somehow wrong you? No. Did you not agree that these were the terms? Yes. What's your problem? What is your problem if I keep our deal and then I do what I want to do with mine own? Why do you have a problem with that? Now listen to me. Many of God's people have the same problem. Many of God's people find themselves right here in this moment. Many of God's people make a decision in this moment that not only damages their life, but it destroys the generations of their home. Follow the parable. Jesus says, I kept the deal, and I did with what I wanted to over here. Why are you so envious? Why are you so jealous? Am I not good? Now, when you remember the context, Peter wants to know, if I serve you, what do I get? Let's negotiate a deal right now. And I find a lot of times that God's people want to negotiate some kind of contractual deal before they're ever going to serve the Lord. I'll serve you, but I'm not going to be a missionary. Deal. I'll serve you, but don't touch my kids. I want a deal. I'll serve you. I'll do what you want to do, but I want to be rich. I'll do what you want me to do, but I don't want to suffer. Sign the deal. A lot of times, in God, in Christendom, in the church, we want to offer God some kind of deal, and we want to negotiate some kind of term. Now watch this, that we suppose that will be good to our life. You had two types of workers. Laborers who were serving under a legal contract, a contract of law, and you had laborers who were serving under a contract of love. The first group says, we demand this contract. The last group just took the word of the man, and they went out and they served. And they didn't have any legal contract. All they had was the goodness of the householder and the words of love that I will give you what is right. And they went to serve. Question for you. Why do you serve God? Why do you serve God? Is it because you've negotiated some kind of deal with Him and you feel like this is it? Or do I serve Him because I love Him? That's a great song. I serve Him because I love Him. And Peter is working in his mind, I want to negotiate a deal because I don't want to lose. I got news for you. God's never lost any of His children. And so Jesus gives him this parable that blows his mind. Are you telling me that these poor guys worked all day and you paid this guy over here the same amount? They only worked 1 hour. This is what Jesus is teaching him. It has no relation to how long you serve me. It has everything to do with how you serve me. And the reward goes not to the labor part of it. It goes to the motive part of it. Some of these men had different opportunities. Some of you got saved later in life. I got saved as a young man. I got called in the ministry as a young kid. But just because I'm able to serve the Lord my whole life doesn't mean I'm going to get any more reward than a guy that got saved at the end of his life and he served the Lord honestly. It's not the amount of time. It's the heart in which we serve. And Peter is negotiating a deal out of his mind. Then his supposition that he's going to win. And Jesus said, don't serve me with your supposition. Serve me with your heart. Don't look at the fact that you're chosen, Peter. Now, here's where people get screwed up on this verse. The verse has nothing to do, the passage has nothing to do with salvation. Jesus is confronting Peter in his mind because Peter thinks because he's a chosen disciple, somehow he's automatically guaranteed a higher wage or a higher reward. And Jesus says, now wait a minute, Peter. Many are called, few are chosen. What is he talking about? He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. When the steward goes, he calls the laborers. There were a whole lot of laborers that were in this parable. You had your initial ones that were chosen at dawn that negotiated some kind of contract. But you had all kinds of other laborers that were in it. There were many that were called. See, Peter, you think because God chose you for a special place of service or some uniqueness just because of who you are, that you just should naturally be rewarded. But I got news for you. Nobody's naturally rewarded. We're rewarded based on how we serve and love the Lord. Saul was chosen of God to stand before Gentiles and to give that. There are certain people that are chosen. Just because I was chosen to be the pastor doesn't mean I'm guaranteed any higher reward than anybody else in this. I could pastor this church for my whole life and not receive one reward. I don't get a reward because I'm the pastor. I get a reward because of an honest motive of service of heart, of a heart of love for the Lord. And so do you. So do you. And so Peter thinks somehow because he's chosen. Matter of fact, Jesus chose 12 disciples. But how many were in the upper room when the Spirit of God came? 120. There were other ones there. And so he's confronting him in his supposition. He's confronting him in his motive. And he's saying, listen, you think that because of this, you're going to be first. But I got news for you. Usually the first here are the last there, and the last here are the first there. And you better understand, it's the heart of the matter. Why do you serve the Lord? Now, Jesus came, and when it comes down to the confrontation part, he says, friend, did I keep my end of the deal? Yes, you did. So what's your problem with how I treat these people over here? Because I can do what I want to do with my own. And then Jesus asked him a question, and here's where people get their lunch eaten. Please listen to me. Why is your eye evil? Is it because I'm good? What's he asking you? That word evil is the word jealous or malicious. And in the parable, the householder is saying, are you jealous because of the way that I have blessed these people? You know, I find that sometimes even church people get jealous of God's blessing on other people. Well, man, I've been a Christian a lot longer than they have, and I wasn't near the wicked sinner that pervert was, or that drunk was. I grew up and I never went through this or that. Or I'm here faithful, or I help out on a volunteer night, or I do this or I do that. And we've got some kind of this chosen, exalted mentality that somehow we, the way we're serving the Lord, should merit us to be first. But man looks on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. And God was responding to these people that had trusted his love and his heart, and God blessed them, and God provided for them, and God met their need. And the spirit over here that had to have some kind of legal contract, God fulfilled that contract, but it wasn't near the blessing that these people received. Tell me you don't serve the Lord just for what you get, and tell me you didn't quit serving the Lord because you thought somebody else was getting more blessed than you. There's wonderful hope in this. The hope is that God knows our heart and our motive for service. So God knows why you sing in that choir. And God knows why you witness Christ. God knows why you're over here helping. God knows why we do these certain things. He knows our motive, and he rewards accordingly. And so there shouldn't be this arrogant, envious, jealous mindset. And we can't hold God to some legal contract. It ought to be the way that we serve him in love and appreciation for him. And the guy said, listen, I'm good. I'm good. If you believe God's good, say amen. Amen. I hope you believe God is good. If you truly believe, if a person truly believes that God is good, then all you care about is what he wants you to do. All you care about is what he wants you to do. Well, I want a penny a day, Pastor, before I serve him. Well, sometimes God will do a deal with you. But I promise you, whatever you suppose in your brain will fall far short of the way that God can care for you. It's better off just to trust his heart, trust his love. God, I serve you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't have time to go there. I want to be done. You know, gives 5 reasons to serve the Lord. You can look them up. I think the first one starts in verse number 10. And Paul said, one of the reasons we serve the Lord is because I know one day I'm going to have to give an account for the gifts that God has given to me. And by the way, if you are a Christian in this room, say amen. Amen. You have a spiritual gift. What is it? The gift of gab. I don't know my spiritual gift. Shame on you. Absolute shame on the born-again child of God who doesn't know their spiritual gift. Well, I never thought about it. Selfish. How do I find out? Come see me. I'll show you from the Bible how you find out. When I got saved, God gave me a spiritual gift, as he did every person in this room. And we ought to be using those spiritual gifts to glorify him, because one day you're going to have to give an account for why God not only gave you a spiritual gift, but why he gave everything in your life. Number 2, Paul said, I serve the Lord because he's a great God, knowing the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. And Paul said, listen, I serve the Lord not only because, and he's not just including evil there, but his whole greatness. He's a terrible, terrific, wonderful God. He said, number 3, I serve the Lord because he loved me. Number 4, because of what he did for me, I'm a new creature in Christ. And number 5, because he gave me a ministry to do. Why do you serve the Lord? I hope it's not because you've somehow in your mind negotiated some deal with prominence or some deal with some kind of blessing or whatever. But if we're going to serve the Lord, we ought to serve the Lord because we love him. Amen? Are you jealous of how God is blessing somebody else? And have you quit? Listen to me. This is where the generations get destroyed. Somehow in our mind, we think we've borne the heat of the day and we should be blessed better than somebody else. And we see somebody else that God blesses in a miraculous way, and we get all disappointed or discouraged. So we'll say, I'm never singing again. I'm never serving again. I'm never making another dish again. I'm never going there again. And so we quit. Mom and dad, look at me. The consequences of the choices that you and I make do not stop at our grave. So I've got mom and dads who just have hung up serving the Lord. And now you've got families that should have grown up in godly homes, but because there was that God blessed somebody else in acquitting, now these kids are growing up without God. And you're only about a generation away of being gone. Are you jealous because of that? Are you trying to negotiate a deal? Is God calling you to something? And you're worried about it. I got news for you. God will take care of you. Amen? So we should serve Him with our whole heart. Not with a desire to be first, but with a desire to be blessed and trusted upon Him. Some of you, God is giving an 11th hour opportunity. I just want to say this and we'll be done. Some of you got saved late in life, or some of you have been saved but you hadn't walked with the Lord for a while, and it seems now later in your life God is calling you right at the end. Go serve Him. Well, Pastor, what am I going to do about this? Who cares? Pastor, I'm old. Who cares? There's only got a little bit of time left. I want to spend it with my family. Why would you want to do that? Pastor, I don't know. Listen, if God's calling you at dawn of your life, if He's calling you as a child of your life, if He's calling you as a young married, if He's calling you in middle age, if He's calling you while there is day, let us serve the Lord. Amen. Trust Him. Pastor, have you seen the house I live in? He's got awesome houses. By the way, a house isn't a home. People are a home. Pastor, you know how much money I make? Oh, He's got a lot of pennies. Pastor, do you know how secure I am? Nothing more secure than being in Him. Don't trust a legal contract. Trust the law, the heart of God, the love of God. God, here I am. Who you are, what you've done with my life, how you've enabled me. God, I want to serve you. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. I'm trusting you. Peter, did you understand that? Now, if you're Peter and you just heard that parable, do you want to negotiate a deal or do you want to go by God's love? Peter's probably thinking, I don't want to work all day for just a penny. I'm going to just serve the Lord and let Him develop my life. Glad you got the answer, Peter. Let's go forward. It's great to be an American, amen? It's great to live in this country, but it's greater to be a Christian. Let's go serve the Lord. Shall we pray?